Today I'm going to be talking about in the matter of tithing. And, you know, last week I gave a message on true and false prosperity. And as I was giving it, honestly, the Lord really convicted me personally about it. You know, you have to remember, when I give the message, you know, that's the message that I'm getting for that week. So I don't usually, obviously I'm not hearing it, or I'm just delivering it. But sometimes when I prepare for a message, the Lord really begins to deal with me about the very things I'm talking about. And this was one of them, about true and false prosperity. What I realized was that our budget, in other words, our budget here at Tikvah Israel is out of control. And in other words, we don't bring in enough income for the current expenses and so on. And so we had a leadership meeting this past Saturday night, and I just said, you know, look, we need to start cutting expenses, and that's probably going to be staff. It's probably going to be the staff expenses, staff compensation, because we just can't afford it any longer. We have to be honorable before the Lord. And so the other leaders really encouraged me to talk about tithing, because we don't really talk about money that much, and we don't push giving here. We just trust the Lord and so on. And so I agreed to do it. But I just want to say this, that the topic of tithing, the understanding of tithing, is much easier said than done. What I mean by that is that you often hear from people, you know, you hear people talk about, well, tithing, it's clear in the scriptures what you're supposed to do, 10% of your income, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, honestly, it's not so clear in the scriptures. It really isn't. And we need to be honest when we face the Word of God concerning what is required of us, especially those of us in the Jewish world who are under the laws of Moses, is that we need to make sure that we understand and we interpret God's words correctly, and not just accept, you know, what's popular, so to speak, just for economic reasons. So what I'm going to do today, this is going to be a little bit of a different message. You know, it's not going to be highly inspirational. In fact, you'll probably be crying at the end, but no, I'm just kidding. What we're going to be doing is we're going to examine some texts today in the scriptures, and then we're going to discuss some common interpretations of these texts, both in the Jewish world and in the Christian world. And then we're going to try to understand how our community, the Messianic Jewish community, should deal with these texts. In other words, how does it apply to us? So with that, I want us to turn to the first passage of scripture that we're going to look at, which is in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. This is the first place really in the Torah where tithing is mentioned. Leviticus 27, verse 30. This is what it says. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. The entire tithe of the herd belongs, and every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here for tithe is the word ma'aser, which basically means one-tenth, or a tithe, so to speak. So in other words, what the Lord's saying here is that one-tenth of your property belongs to the Lord, which is nice to know. But then the question is, what does that mean? Just because something belongs to the Lord, then what do you do with it? It's not like you can just like throw it, you know, into heaven or someone like that, and he's going to catch it or something. That doesn't work quite that way. So what does it mean when it says it belongs to the Lord? Well, there's another passage in Numbers 18, a little further along, that does explain it a little bit. Numbers 18, verse 21. Let's look at that. It says this, the Lord speaking, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work that they do while serving at the tent of meeting. So basically the Lord's saying, okay, the tithe, which has been the tenth of the property which has been set aside for the Lord, is now to be given to the Levites for the work of the ministry. That's really clear. And the reason that this occurs is explained in verse 24, if you look at it. And it says this, it says that, that instead I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. So the Levites, unlike all the other tribes, were not given any land. They weren't given any property to farm and so on. So as a consequence, as compensation, they would get a tenth of what people brought in from the fields and so on. So that's all really clear. But now it gets a little more complex. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, the second part of the law. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. And this is what it says. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place that he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Everybody say oops. Oops, right? Why do we say oops? It's because, I don't know if you see a problem here, but there's a problem in this text. Because in the earlier texts, it says that the tithe is for the Levites. But in this text, it says the tithe is for you. You and me. In other words, when we bring the tenth of our fields and so on, what we do with it is we bring it to Jerusalem and we eat it before the Lord and so on. So there's a little bit of a problem here. And then it gets even more complex a few verses later. If you jump down to verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens and the fatherless and the widows who come in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So now what it looks like is that the earlier texts show that the tenth was given to the Levites every year, but now it's saying that the tenth is given to you, and then every third year, basically every of the 7 years, what's known as the sabbatical year, years 3 and 6, those are actually given to the poor and to the Levites among them, because a lot of times the Levites were also poor. So we've got a little bit of a dichotomy here, right? Because on one hand it's saying goes to the Levites, on the other hand it says goes to the poor or yourself. So how does it sort it out? Well, the rabbis sorted it out over time, and this is what they came up with. And the first thing they came up with is what is known as Maaseh Rishon, which is known as the first tithe. I think it's in your bulletin there, is the Hebrew, at least in the English version. And their view was that the first tithe of your produce comes to the Levites. So that's the beginning. Then there is the Maaseh Sheni, which is the second tithe. And the second tithe is what is, it's a second tenth of your produce, and that's what you bring each year to Jerusalem, and you eat it before the Lord. But then, in the third and the sixth years, That tithe is actually given to the poor and to the Levites as well, who are sometimes poor as well. So that's the way they wrestled with it. Then you have a further complication here in the text, because the rabbis also ruled that this applies only to agriculture. In other words, only applies to farming and so on. And it only applies to the land of Israel. It doesn't apply to the diaspora, to the Jews who go outside. Because the land was given by God to Israel, and this is a holy land, so now one-tenth of it belongs to the Lord. And so it doesn't apply to income-producing jobs and stuff like that. You say, well, that can't be. That doesn't make any sense. But it actually goes further in the New Testament. Yeshua seems to confirm this, believe it or not, in Matthew chapter 23. Let's see what he says here in Matthew 23:23. Yeshua's says, woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Notice what Yeshua is talking about here that's being tithed. It's agricultural products, right? In other words, there's no reference here that you tithe some of your income, blah, 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 and so on. And then further, if you go further into the New Testament, like into the writings of the apostles, what you find is that in the early congregations, there is no mention of receiving tithes. In fact, rather, there's a giving of voluntary offerings and so forth. And it was raised for various groups. That's the way it operates. Now, within Judaism, the question is now that we're out of the land of Israel, what do you do? Because you can't produce a tithe to the Lord. So what do you do? So within Judaism, they came up with another concept, another tithe, which is called Maaser Kesafim, which is basically the tithe of money or income. And some rabbis even argued that it was an extension of the biblical tithe and so forth. But the majority rules that this is not actually a tithe that comes out of the Torah, but is rather an obligation on the part of all Jews to give charity or tzedakah for the poor. And their ruling is, which is very interesting, is that observant Jews are supposed to give, or all Jews, but the only ones who ever do this are observant Jews, is they are supposed to give between 10 and 20% of their income to tzedakah and so on. And what's interesting about it is the choices that they made of the 10 to 20% is actually comes from the original tithe concept, where you give one tithe unto the Levites and then you give another tithe for yourself and the poor. So in other words, the range is the same. But in Judaism, this tithe, this tzedakah, doesn't go to the synagogue. That's not the way the synagogue systems work. In fact, in the synagogue, members pay dues. They don't give tithes, so to speak. And the average dues, it depends, really ranges in the synagogue system, but it ranges somewhere between 2 and 5% of income and so forth. Also, as you know, that for anybody that's been in a synagogue, they don't pass the plate like they do in churches and so forth. And the reason is that Jews are prohibited from carrying money on the Sabbath. And so consequently, you can't just like dump money in the plates, because that would be, a violation of the Torah. Now, I don't agree with that interpretation, because basically when you're giving money to the Lord, you're not involved in commercial activity. So I don't think that's a correct interpretation. You're giving the money to the Lord. But the idea is that you're not involved in commercial activity and so on. And that's where that comes from. So that's the Jewish world. But what about the church world? How do they view tithing? Believe it or not, the church world has very mixed views on this subject. In fact, in the early church, there's no evidence of tithing. Rather, there was a giving of voluntary offerings. In fact, it didn't really change until the 6th century, when it began to be discussed, and then it became mandatory in the 8th century in the church because of the lack of finances to support the work of the church. So they basically argued it from there. In the Middle Ages, the church which controlled most of Europe created what was called tithe barns. It's kind of humorous, but tithe barns. And what was brought to these barns was a tenth of your agricultural products that was brought into these barns, and also the craftsman production was brought into these barns and so on. And then it was sold, and the priests went out and collected the money and collected the products and so on. Following the Reformation, what happens is that the responsibility of tithing is taken over by state governments. And what happens is the state governments include the tithe within the tax system that's imposed upon the people. And then that money is allocated to the churches. And today, even in Europe today, they still have a church tax in many countries and so on. Not 10%, but a portion of the money is then given off to the churches. In the American colonies, they had the same system until the enactment of the Constitution, which prohibited this kind of thing. In fact, voluntary tithing that we talk about today, where people give 10% and so on to the local congregation, it did not become popular until the end of the 19th century. So this idea of 10% in the church world and so on is only a relatively recent phenomenon, despite what you might have heard or believed. And the big issue, of course, is that when churches require tithing, the problem is that tithing comes from the laws of Moses, the Mosaic law, and churches are not under the law. So the question is how do they argue it and so forth? In fact, it's probably more accurate to talk about voluntary offerings in the church world. And then honestly today, if you're really going to be honest about things, and you know, this is just for whatever it's worth, is that if a church believes that God requires tithing and so on, but they also believe that they're not under the law anymore, then I'm not sure how they argue for tithing. In other words, if you argue that we're no longer under the law any longer because, quote, Jesus has set us free from the law, then how do you argue for tithing? Because it comes from the law and so on. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation. We'll say it that way. But for us, it's different. It's different for us. And the reason I say that is we are Jews, and this is a Jewish congregation, and we are under the laws of Moses. And that includes Messianic Jews, because just because you become a believer in Yeshua, you're not suddenly freed from the obligations of the law of Moses. It's clear. You are given, as a Messianic Jew, you're given the power to fulfill the laws of Moses. That's what it is. And Yeshua raises the standards of the law of Moses to make it even tougher, because you need the power of God to be able to keep them, and so forth. So the scriptures need to be re-examined in our day, for our own community. So that's what we want to look at. Now, it's clear from the Torah that the tithes, or the ma'aser, was given over to the Levites for the work of the ministry, and it was also given to the poor. That was the purpose in the scriptures. In today's world, believe it or not, there are still Levites and Kohanim, or priests, and they're recognized in the Jewish world. They definitely are. But they're no longer ministers, so to speak. In other words, the Levites, the Levi'im, and the Kohanim in a synagogue are not, they don't play a real active role. They have a few roles, but not a lot, and so on. And because there's no longer a temple system any longer. But in the synagogue, we know that there's rabbis, there's cantors, and there's other professional staff that need to be provided for. The Jewish argument that the tithes only apply to the land of Israel just doesn't jive with reality. That's part of the problem. Because if you look at the texts, you look at two things when you're interpreting Scripture. You look at the actual words that it says, and you look at what the purpose was for what it was being designed for. And it was clear that the purpose of the tithe was that it belongs to the Lord for the purpose of supporting His ministers and the poor. And so we look at what the Scriptures say regarding the purpose. Now, obviously, back in the biblical era, they lived in fully an agrarian economy. And so the focus of the Scriptures was going to be on the produce of the land. But the days of the agrarian economies are long behind us. That just doesn't exist anymore, and it's changed forever. And the reality is that there's very little produce for most people from the farms, but rather from other kinds of opportunities. So how do we wrestle with this? How do we deal with this? And I think what's helpful is looking at two other texts. One comes from the prophet Malachi, and the other comes from Yeshua. And so let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. Now, Malachi is one of the later prophets, and he is prophesying around the years between the 300s and 400s BCE. And the Lord is speaking through him on a series of issues that God has with his people. They include things like defiled sacrifices that the people are making before the Lord. It includes false teaching that some of the priests are teaching. It talks about divorce and the problems of divorce in the community. And so the Lord is judging the community for these kinds of things. But then he comes up with this other thing. And it's in Malachi 3, verse 6. Most of us are familiar with it. And it says this: I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now, note what it says here in this text. It says, Malachi says to the people, return to me, and I will return to you. In other words, in Hebrew, it is shuvu alai ve'ashuva aleichem. In other words, return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you. The word shuv in Hebrew means return or repent, and it's the root of the word teshuvah, which we're all familiar with, repentance that we hear a lot about in the high holidays and so on. And so he's telling the people to repent. What's the problem? What is the allegation that he has against the people, that they're robbing God? And then he says this in verses 9 and 10. He says, you are under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe, and I want to underline whole tithe, into the storehouse that you that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. In other words, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. In other words, so that there's food in the house. Food in the house for whom? For the ministers and for the poor. That's what the food in the house was supposed to be for. And notice what the amount is that he says here. It's the whole tithe. In other words, it's between 10 and 20%. It's not just 10, but it's between 10 and 20. Why do we say that? Because if you add in the extra tithe every third year to give into the poor, then the average tithe per year, if it's spread out over a seven-year period, is between 12 and 13%. That's what the average tithe is, according to the Scriptures. Now, Yeshua says something very similar to this on the Sermon on the Mount. And we have to understand that Yeshua in the Sermon on the Mount is teaching from the Torah. He's giving the rulings on the Torah, basically. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 and following. Let's see what Yeshua says. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and dust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want you to look at the word store here in verse 19. The Hebrew word for store is atzar. And in the Hebrew translation of the Greek, because we understand the New Testament was written in Greek, not in Hebrew, but when it's translated into Hebrew, they use the word atzar. It happens to be the same word as the word storehouse in Malachi 3. It's atzar. And so one way to store up treasures in heaven is through tithes. That's how you store up treasures in heaven, by bringing your tithes in. And notice what it says in verse 21. It says that, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you want to know where their people's heart is, if you want to know what people really believe in, see how they use their money. That determines what people really believe in. I talked about all that last week about true and false prosperity. I encourage you to get it if you didn't get it, and so on. That's what determines what people really believe in. Now, taking that into account, everything that I've just talked about, how do we do this? How do we deal with this at Tikvat Israel? First of all, how do we spend our money at Tikvat Israel? How does this congregation spend its money? Well, there's three major areas. We spend money on infrastructure, which includes the building, the utilities, office supplies, and so on. That'd be similar to the temple. We spend money on staff, which is similar to the Levites. And we spend money on programs like services, outreaches, seminars, events, youths and children programs, and we give to the poor through a benevolence program. That's the essential functions of this congregation and so on. We run a tight ship here. In fact, there's a lot that we can't do here because we just don't have enough money. That's really being honest. In fact, there's a lot of times, as we've come into difficult economic times in this country and in this area, there's a lot of times we'd like to help our own people with more, but we just can't because we just don't have enough money. So how do we take this all, this information about tithing, and apply it to a congregation like this? Well, it's clear that the biblical tithe is 10% to the Levites, and every third year the money is given to the poor, additional money is given to the poor. That's approximately 12 to 13% of income. That's the idea. Jewish practices, the regular synagogue, it's 2 to 5% that's given to dues to the synagogue, and then 10 to 20% of the money of an observant Jews are given over to charity. That's extremely generous. People complain about 10%, but they don't realize, and you often hear this, which is really frustrating. Sometimes you hear it among the anti-Semitic world that the Jews are tight-fisted, right? But the reality is that observant Jews give more money than most Christians do. That's the reality, because they're required under the laws of tzedakah to give between 10 and 20%. So that's the reality. So combining the two concepts here of tithing and then money to the poor, how do we deal with this? This is what I believe, that 10% of the money should be given to the congregation, to Tikvat Israel in this case. And then the remaining percentages that you give should go to other charities, like things where people give to cancer research, heart research, so on, for the poor, other ministries and so on. That's the way, if we're going to apply it in this congregation in a model, I think that's the model. I think that's the model we should apply in it. We already in this congregation give 10% of our income to other ministries already to help people, including the poor in Israel and elsewhere. So we've already given the money out, but if you're going to give money to other ministries, it really should be above the 10%. Then people ask, well, it's 10% of what? What's the baseline? Is it gross income, net income, something in between? If you look at the biblical model from the Torah, it was 10% of the gross product minus the amount that's set aside for the poor. Because in the Torah, there's what is known as the laws of Peah, which is the laws where, you know, when you harvested your field, you're supposed to leave the four corners of the field for the poor. And so that was not included in the 10%. But everything else, it's 10% given to the Levites. In the Jewish model, the Ma'aser Kisafim, 10% of income is after taxes. So it's a type of a net figure and so on. This is what I've always practiced since I've known the Lord. I've always given 10% of my income into tithes. I still do that to this very day. But if gross income is too difficult, less is probably fine. From using a net figure is probably fine as well. So it should be in between the gross and the net figure. But what about those people who don't tithe? And it seems like a lot of money. Let me tell you something. And Stacy, my wife, really brought this up to my attention this week as I was preparing this message. I became a believer in Yeshua when I was a senior in high school. It was before I had any real jobs. And so when I became a follower of Yeshua, I realized that God was requiring me to give 10% back to him. And so immediately upon attaining employment after I went through school, I always gave 10% to the Lord. It was just part of my budget, just the way it always worked. But a lot of people, that hasn't happened here. It hasn't happened to you. Maybe you became a believer later in life or so on. Or maybe you were a believer earlier, but you weren't tithing. And now 10%, it seems like a lot of money. Because quite frankly, for most of us, unless we're quite wealthy, we usually spend up to whatever we're earning. You know, it's like hand to mouth. That's the way it usually is. And so all of a sudden to say, well, now you need to give 10% of your income, and you've been giving like 1% or 2%, it's like, man, how am I going to possibly manage this? And here's my challenge to you, is have a goal. Have a goal of trying to get to the 10% within a year, over a short period. That should be a goal. Not, you know, it's difficult to do it right away, but it should definitely be a goal. And you know what's interesting? Is it says in the book of Malachi, when they were not giving their tithes and offerings to the Lord said to the people, test me in this. Right? You know, in Jewish thinking, in Jewish thought, Jewish law, it's the only commandment where you are allowed to test God. It's in the area of finances, where the Lord says in this commandment, test me and I will open the windows of heaven for you. I know it seems like a lot, but I'm challenging you by faith. It's an act of faith that when we obey the Lord, he will provide it in return. There's no question about it. And as a community, folks, let us store up our treasures in heaven, like Yeshua said. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I know this is difficult and it's complicated, Lord, and it's challenging to those of us who live in this society, Lord God, for the amount of money, Lord. But Father, even as I felt like you led me to share last week, Lord, that so many of us are caught up in a false prosperity, Lord, thinking that we have more money than we really do, Lord God, and spending without any controls. Lord, let tithing be a form of discipline for us, oh God, so that we can get our spending under control and that our lives, our financial lives, will bring glory to your name, Lord, as well as everything else. Lord, as you said, as Yeshua said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Lord. And Father, I pray that we would be honest enough to recognize, Lord, that where we spend our money, how we use our money, really shows what we believe and what we stand for, Lord. And so, Father, I pray you would convict us, you would strengthen us, Lord, you would give us the faith to be able to do what you've called us to do, to reach, Father, for your commandments, Lord God, and bring glory to your name in all that we do, Lord. And Father, we honor you, Lord God, for your word. And we know that when we honor you, you will honor us in return and supply many times over. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction.